Hello, everyone, and welcome to another extraordinary episode of the Tree of Geek, Season 2, Episode 10. What's this episode about? How about the X-Men, the X-Factors, the X-Genes? You get an X. I get an X. We all get X's. I mean, everybody has an X somewhere, right? Yeah, and hopefully the buses find them. So, was it mean? It might have been mean. I don't know. I'm a mean guy occasionally. Josh, how are we doing this evening? How are we doing?
I am doing fantastic. I've been looking forward to this.
You didn't say extraordinary. There's so many X's we got to pick up in this episode.
I am extremely happy to be here.
Thank you. Act like you've been here before.
I've been extra excited, and I also extra stressed because we're doing this on a different night than usual.
Is your favorite gum Extra?
No, I don't chew gum.
How about instead of hard copy, did you watch Extra on TV?
No.
No?
But I did watch a little bit of the X-Files.
Explain.
What? A little bit?
No, not. All right, we're done. We're done. Our podcast is over. That was it. That was just the... We're done. No, okay, everybody. I'm glad you're still sticking around after all that extremely irritating stuff. And I swear we'll stop with the X's as much as we can. But we're probably going to hear X-Men over and over and over in this episode. There might be spoilers about current comic books that are out. There's going to be spoilers about the TV series, the cartoons,
X-Men,
the movies. Yes, yeah. Like spoilers for everybody out there. And there's a few things we'll try to go light on. If it's brand new, just come out the last couple months, we'll go really light on it. But we have read some stuff that's new, and we might tip our hat to something. So be forewarned. Josh, what's going on in your world of Tree of Geek? Anything new? Anything exciting?
Not exciting.
Somebody else just turned it off.
It was actually extremely painful, but...
Oh, there goes another one.
I finally watched Madame Web.
Ooh.
Was it
extremely disappointing?
Right there went all of our listeners.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, he's going to talk for 50 minutes about Madame Web.
So IMDb gave it a 3.8 out of 10. So, okay, first off, I went into this knowing the ratings, knowing it was a flop to 99% of the world, but I went into it with high hopes thinking, okay, I'm still going to give it a chance.
Well, it's like we said, if we cannot call ourselves comic book fans, we can't call ourselves geeks if we don't pay attention to these properties and check them out at least once.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. That's why I gave it a 3 out of 10.
Man, three's pretty low. Wow.
Like, there were some scenes that had great CGI, in my opinion. Like, the visuals are really good, but then it's completely offset by some absolutely horrendous CGI.
Yeah, everybody's talking about the acting, but I think the effects were might have been like the worst part of this. That the people crawling in the trees was just ridiculous.
I mean, I can get past the acting. I understand sometimes people are cast and they're not quite right for that role. Like,
well, they're only given a certain type of dialogue. Like, you have to read what's there. You can only ad lib so much.
Right. And I even have my next point is extremely poor dialogue. But the CGI is what really killed me. Like, if you're going to do a big blockbuster, you know, a franchise spinoff, I guess you could call it, that anyone who's listening to this podcast is guaranteed watch at least one Spider-Man movie, at least make it better than the first Tobey Maguire.
The effects. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because it was painful. I mean, I understand it's a superhero origin story. It's supposed to be like in your face, like try and get you hooked, but don't try and get me hooked onto a franchise. Get me hooked onto the movie. I feel like all they did was
drive an ambulance through a city. Well, that was half the movie.
That's true. But all they really did was try and set up...
You know, I was watching the French
spin-off
Connection
movies for each of the characters. Like, and the action and, like, the whole plot. Again, I'm not going to give anything away because it is still pretty new. And I know people out there are so excited to go watch it now. So much of it was just so absurd. Like, it was over-the-top absurd. I mentioned a few things to you off the mic that just only made sense to make the plot move forward.
Do you think Dakota Johnson... knew, like, when she read the script, did she realize how much ambulance driving she was going to do? Like, that half of her scenes were going to be here behind a steering wheel of an ambulance.
No, I don't think she did.
And that's not a spoiler. Hey guys, if you like to watch an ambulance movie, go watch the heist movie, The Ambulance. It might be better. In fact, the horror movie from like 91 called The Ambulance with Eric Roberts, go check that movie out. It's better.
And in the trailers, you see right off the bat, yeah, she's an EMT. Cool. Great. It's just, I have seen more ambulance driving than I've ever needed to.
There's a lot of chasing.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Then she becomes a taxi driver. So she trades up the ambulance for a taxi. But that's all the spoilers are get. What else you got, man? Well, we can't give this any more time. We can't. Oh, my God.
No.
No.
So I give it a 3 out of 10. Go watch it if you want to. If you don't want to, you're not missing it at all.
Well, you're in America. It's free to choose.
Yeah.
Unless you're listening to us in another country and it's not free to choose. And I'm sorry and I feel for you, but you're not missing much.
No. Hopefully they pull a Willow and just take it out of everything.
Just take it off. Nobody will ever see it again.
Speaking of movies, however, the new Joker 2, what is it?
Exfoliamus.
Foliados, whatever.
We know that I like to mispronounce some names and mix up some things.
Yeah, yeah, Joker, Expelliarmus.
Foliage.
Yeah, they dropped the first teaser trailer.
Axel Foley.
We do see Phoenix. We do see Gaga. And while part of me was really excited to see the trailer, another part of me just had no interest at all. Like, it just didn't capture me like that first trailer did. Like, you remember the iconic dancing on the steps part of the trailer? I didn't really feel
that.
Like,
that trailer didn't get me, though, either.
I didn't feel like
I begrudgingly watched that
anything
one.
Anything like that in this one. And while, yes, I'll absolutely watch it, I don't, as of now, I don't know if it's something I'll go to theaters for.
I will not.
You don't like musicals?
Yeah, there's a couple of musicals, all right. You know, the
Itchy
Yeah Yeah Da Da musicals, okay.
I went right in the middle of it.
The movie's to, called Cabaret.
Harley Quinn, played by Lady Gaga, to just bust out in Bad Romance.
Well, see, here's the thing about Lady Gaga and music to me when it comes to movies
she sucks.
I don't think she does, actually. I think she's okay.
No, she's not bad. It's just not my flavor of music.
A Star is Born with Bradley Cooper.
I never did
such
see
a
that.
Great piece of shit movie. It's such a great, amazing movie. And then it's just shit. And it made me mad and it hurt my heart. And I was pissed and I'm never going to watch it again. I've never loved a movie so much, but hated it to where I'll never watch it again.
Wow.
It's just because what happens to certain characters. And I'm just like this. Wow. Thanks for taking the rug out from underneath me. And then waiting till I tried to get up and hit me over the head with a hammer.
See, that's what basically how my wife described was like Tomorrowland or something like that with,
Tomorrowland.
Oh, shoot.
That sounds, that's
Gosling and, oh no, not Tomorrowland then, I guess. The movie with Ryan Gosling, I think it's Ryan Gosling, and Emma Stone.
Oh, where she jokes at him about, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I didn't watch it. I know the iconic scene of like they're on like a sidewalk or something with a bench nearby and he's got like her hand up in the air and things.
Yeah, apparently the way they did that movie was great until you got towards the end and you understood more and then it was like, wow, that was lame.
No, well, I wouldn't say what my issue with the Gaga movie is lame. It's just what happens to a certain character. And I was just like, that's stupid. Because the movie had, Star Has Been Born has been redone like 3 times. And I went back and I looked at the plots of the first 2 remakes and, you know.
So it's called La La Land.
La La Land.
What did I say?
Tomorrowland, which I thought you had like George Clooney in it or something.
I think that ends about like Disney and
yeah, I think it has George Clooney in it.
Yeah. George Clooney dancing in the rain.
Yeah. Yeah. A little Fred Astaire. What else you got?
The only other thing I really have that kind of falls into the category of geek is the second bottle of the Quest End whiskey that I bought. Remember, I told you I bought the full 4-pack. It's a full D&D theme. The second bottle arrived called Rogue. It came with, you know, a little book about playing a rogue, so to speak. It has a little letter. It's beautiful. Like the artwork and stuff is gorgeous, but I'll probably never open it because, like, it's pretty. I don't know if I want to open it.
No, you got to savor the image of that for a while on a shelf, for sure. It kind of a little side quest here. Have you seen or heard of a TV show called The Quest where actual kids go and LARP, but they have to do actual missions on and like compete to find out who can actually finish the quest?
No.
Yeah, like over in England somewhere, like they have a castle built and there's like 12 kids that show up and they follow a whole entire like D&D storyline, how to save the king and the castle and have to get magical artifacts and they have to go through this mage and they have to defeat this ogre and this witch. Doing like competitions, like lifting things and doing puzzles and shit. Like, it's pretty sweet. Like, there's this little redhead knight lady that helps them out so that they can save the kingdom until like only one kid. I mean, they all stay there, but until like one kid is declared like the quest winner, like they're the realm's champion.
So is this, it says it's by Disney?
Yeah, and there's actually, like, the characters that they interact with, like, actually role play as, like, this dude is the king. This dude is this really dickish guy.
Okay,
and
so
there's a sorcerer, and
I have it pulled up on IMDb. The trailer just makes it look like a fantasy show, but you're telling me it's more of like an actual...
Yeah, like regular kids go there.
Like a reality TV show.
Yeah, it's like a reality TV show, but like everybody they interact with is like in LARP mode. Like they don't break. They don't do, hey, my name's Jimmy. No, they are Caliphicious of Calidor or wherever the hell they're from, and they don't break character. They talk to these kids as if these kids are actually on a quest. It's pretty decent. I don't know if it's ever going to get it. I think it got 2 seasons or something, but
it says it started in 22 and it's currently at 4 out of 10.
Well, people are stupid because it was
that
pretty
being
cool.
Said, however, I will definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's a cool competition. And it's not like cutthroat, like Big Brother where people are like really mean to each other. I mean, they're like teenage kids, you know.
Oh,
sweet.
That's worse.
Yeah.
So what about you? What's going on in your world?
Well, I just watched the first 2 episodes of Star Trek Discovery. The first 2 episodes dropped.
How was it?
I mean, it has a callback to The Next Generation, you know, not really spoiling it for anybody, but it's dealing with an episode that I barely even remembered that happened in TNG, and it's doing really well so far, in my opinion. It's on warp 8. I don't know if it'll get warp 10. I mean, it's hard. It's a curve, but I finished Harry Potter book 1. That's right. At 41 years old, I finally finished Harry Potter book 1. Like I said, my mom had passed away and I got her Harry Potter collection. So I was like, you know what, Mom, I'm going to read these. And I'll say that I did enjoy the Harry Potter movie 1 more than the book. There are some things I'm curious why they didn't bring it into the movie. Hopefully when they do this new series that comes out next year, we're thinking they flesh it out more. A little disappointed in that final battle in the book. I was like, wow, the movie did so much better. But you know, you get visuals, yes.
Well, what you were telling me, like, in the book, it's like 4 pages and done.
Yeah, like, okay, that's it for Voldemort? I mean, it's not a big spoiler there, but, you know, we talked a long time ago about Eureka, about shows you want to come back, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was like, maybe I should start watching that before bedtime. Well, guess what? I did. I got, like, I'm 4 or 5 episodes of the first season, so I'm like, wow, I forgot how much I really, really love this show. I recommend it to anybody that's never come across it. You got to do it.
So, a regular listener of ours, shout out Eric. He did message me and told me that he started watching Eureka. I'm still waiting to hear back from him what he thought of, you know. I know he watched the first episode, which is like 2 hours long. It's an intro movie, basically. However, he also told me to tell you something a little hard to talk about. So don't get upset.
Okay. All right. I'm going to.
He said to tell you Sky High sucks.
Well, you know,
he said his daughter used to watch it all the time and he would do everything he could to put something else on. He hated that movie. He said it was so bad. It might as well have been a parody of a movie. How do you feel about this?
I feel that everybody's entitled to their opinions. Sometimes other people's opinions are wrong and that's fine. He apparently thinks mine is wrong. I'm the host of a podcast, so I'm never wrong, but you know, it's sure, you know, that's fine. I'd like him to give me a couple examples of like some Disney type superhero stuff. And we'll see if I agree with some of his picks.
Oh, and Eric that I work with, who he writes the Steel Wolf comics.
Yes. Eric Bennett.
Yes. He messaged me at work the other day to tell me, hey, Thundercats, Silverhawk.
Silverhawks
and something else. I forget what it was, but he said he basically drank them in like water.
Oh, hell yeah.
He was more of, you know, he said he was older back in the 80s, you know, so he is still a little bit before us on that, but he said, yes, that's exactly where it should be.
All right. I totally agree with that. So, I mean, listen, some people love things, some people don't. Each their own. I love y'all anyway.
But you know what? Whether you like it or you don't, I love getting this feedback.
Interaction,
so
man. Interaction.
Absolutely. Keep it coming.
Number 4 on my list, The Boys, season 4, June 13th. So by the time you guys hear this podcast, you'll be closer to June 13th. So that is definitely coming out. And unfortunately for all you Jon Snow fans out there, all you Kit Harington fans, I got kind of some bad news. Supposedly, his spinoff Jon Snow show that was going to be called Snow of Game of Thrones is officially dead. And he also said that there is zero plans at this time for him to show back up in the MCU for him to be Black Knight. Like
So they're just killing that storyline altogether.
Probably. I don't know. Well, I mean, there's a Sentinel just chilling in the middle of an ocean that nobody's talked about. So
Sentinel, you mean,
or Celestial Sentinels. Yeah. I mean, with the new X-Men comics, who knows what's any, what anymore.
In some of the comics, I know, again, spoilers, there's a point where the Avengers actually use a Celestial as their new headquarters, like a holdout. And yes. I'm kind of wondering if maybe after Secret War and everything, you know, when all the universes merge, if maybe that's how they're going to use that as like their new headquarters.
I'm hoping that when Peter Quill shows up, you know, because he's already at his, like, his uncle's house, you know, eating his cereal, that maybe he sees on the news or something. And he goes, oh, shit. Is that a Celestial head? Like, maybe out of a joke, he's the one who notices that it's there, you know, like, yeah, connected to him somehow. Oh, yeah. Why? How is nowhere here? You know, so yeah. I mean, I guess this head's a smidge. Well, is it a head? Is it a hand? Is it a hand that's out of the water?
Both.
It's both.
There's a hand sticking out, and then there's like half of a head.
Like a shoulder, you know, little nose.
Yeah. Which, how did that not completely screw up the climate?
Because climate change is false. It's fake. And the earth is flat.
No, we're not. But really, we're not even getting into that.
We're not going there.
No, we're not going there.
Oh, man. Well, our last listener just left. Apparently, he walked off the edge. Or she. I don't know. Well, that's all I got. So I suppose we could dig into this whole thing. And I got a special tool to do that, to figure out who goes first. I did a draft of what I thought maybe the structure of the episode should go. You looked at my notes, just, that looks good. And you kind of went with the same structure as well, didn't you? So yeah. We can kind of ping pong back and forth. So apparently a D12 isn't the way to go. Like, we just, no, even though we got 11, you got 12, it was close, but nobody remembers second place. But I got you a D20 this time, Josh. And as usual, because you are the guest in the tree fort that's in a basement, also known as my man cave, also known as my office, you get to roll first.
All right, here we go. Six.
All right, you got a 6, and I got 15. I think this is like the first one I've won.
All right, so I go first.
That's how numbers work.
If we're going to be talking about the X-Men, I think the very first place that we should start is, why do we like the X-Men? So, Michael, H-Train, why are you a fan of the X-Men?
Well, as a kid, I knew who Batman was. I knew who Superman was. I knew who Spider-Man was. I knew who the Hulk was. But I wasn't really introduced to the X-Men until around 9 years old, when I got a comic book that my grandfather took me to a pawn shop to get, one of the Marvel handbooks. And around the same time, back in 92, the X-Men cartoon came out, and I was like straight hooked. I was like, this is amazing. I mean, the basic reason that I love comic books in general is because of heroism, you know, the battle between good and evil. And I look at the heroism that the X-Men exude, that the X-Men try to hold up an example for, and it's at the highest level. I mean, they protect the very people that want them dead. Not just people that don't kind of like you because of the way you look or the way you talk. Like, these people want you dead. You're not human. You're subpar. We are going to kill you. We're actively going to try and murder you. And the X-Men, what do? They still protect those people. They could just say, you know what, screw it. You guys don't like us. You can just, whatever, we'll live our lives. But no, they take the time to protect them. And that's true heroism, to put your own feelings, your own opinions aside, and still help who you think is your brother, who is your sister. They may not see it that way, but you still put out that friendly helping hand. I mean, throughout the years, countless of issues, the team's stories, much like Star Trek, though not as thinly veiled, they've tackled a variety of issues of civil rights and gender issues. I mean, you name the type of issue that we've had here in our normal lives, and they've kind of tackled it in one way or the other. I mean, the Avengers are cool. The JLA are cool. They're the best of the best, right? I mean, I was never a huge Fantastic Four fan, but the X-Men just always have that certain unique factor about them.
They're kind of like the rejects.
Yeah. And like, and all your friends, you can get a group of friends when you're a kid's like, which X-Men are you? Which X-Men are you? Oh, I'm Colossus. No, I'm Wolverine. No, I want to be Jean Grey, or, you know, I want to be Nightcrawler and teleport, you know? They were just fun stories. I mean, we'll get into some of the writers and some of the artists later on in the podcast here, but that is my overblown long explanation of why I love the X-Men so much. They are my favorite superhero team, and they're probably of all time, probably my favorite comic book team to read. What about you? Why do you love the X-Men?
First off, just let me say that you pretty much encompassed a good bit of what I'm going to say. And through our conversations, we are, I think, very like-minded individuals, so I think we kind of see it in the same light.
Yeah, I have a feeling this podcast in particular, we're going to be very close.
We're not going to argue?
Right. I mean, well, maybe, but doubtful. I don't know. We'll see.
No, my favorite character.
Wolverine is mine.
So I've always been captivated by the X-Men. Ever since I first, you know, discovered them, it was just one of those things of like, okay, well, that's a new character. What are they going to be able to do? It wasn't your normal like, oh, well, this is Superman. He flies. This is Batman. He has depression issues. It was X-Men. Who are they? I loved it because they had these extraordinary abilities that every kid wanted to have. Like, what kid has never dreamt of flying or teleporting or laser vision or, you know, sinking through the floor like Kitty Pryde? Like, every kid at some point has wanted to have almost every one of those powers that you see in the X-Men, whether they saw the X-Men or not, I mean.
Right. No, I totally agree.
And then you take that, something that immediately captivates a kid's mind, or in this case, me. You know, because I've said before, you know, go all the way back to season one, episode one, where we discuss who we are and why we're doing this. Please ignore the audio quality. It's absolutely horrendous. And I explained that reading and comic books, it was my escape from reality. It was how I dealt with, you know, not having many friends and stuff like that. And so for me, it was more about like finding comfort in these stories that involve essentially people who were rejected by everyone else. But then getting older, I started understanding the stories, and these are not happy stories.
There's some deep, deep stories that they have.
Like the X-Men, like you said, it looks at topics covering, you know, preconceptions, prejudices, the constant fight of trying to just belong in society. And the older I got, the more I realized, like you said, it mirrors real world struggles.
It does.
Back then in the 90s, all the way to today, like nothing's really changed that much. You
know, people are still bigots and people are still racist and people are still bullies.
I rewatched a little bit of the old X-Men series, the cartoon, in preparation for 97. A lot of those episodes, even though the context is slightly different, are super relevant even today. They just are.
Civil rights are still a thing, man.
The characters are so diverse, and not just, okay, they have different powers. But like, their backgrounds are absurdly unique to their character. Like,
well, it's their attitudes as well.
That's more in their, like, character growth, too. But, like, Jean Grey, essentially shunned from her own family. Wolverine, I mean, dude's been around forever. Like, he's the lone wolf. You know what I mean? Cyclops is pretty boy. Like,
and his daddy's gone. He's got daddy issues. His daddy disappeared.
Yeah, but, I mean, each one of them has their own issues, like their own personal demons that they're dealing with. And as you go through the different comics and different shows and whatnot, you see a lot of these characters get to deal with these demons. And most of them are not pretty. Most of them are not, you know, reuniting with lost family members. It's dark.
Would it be fair to say that the X-Men are not, it's not like a black and white good versus evil book?
Oh, absolutely. That's
what's nice about it. There's a lot of gray area, a lot of
there's characters
perception.
Look at Wolverine and Jean Grey as an example. At some point, they were both on the opposite side. These are people who, they're not black and white. These are people who they follow their own instinct. They do what they think is right.
Well, even when they're good, they almost had like, the whole love affair thing.
Well, yeah.
Adultery. Adultery was brought up very prevalently in the comic books.
Oh, yeah.
The
X-Men. Yeah.
Just another issue that is Superman. Like, Superman ain't dealing with adultery.
No.
I mean, not back then.
Right. I mean, and another thing that really got me with these shows is the character growth. Like I had said, like, you watch them deal with their different backstories. You watch them grow into their characters. And like you said, it really molds what their attitude as a character is. A great example I have written down here is Wolverine. He's always that lone wolf character that trusts no one, relies on only himself. You always see him traveling alone and just doing his own thing. But as you progress through comic storylines, or if you even look at when he was early introduced to now, he's a team player. Sure, he's still
been a team leader.
He's a wild card, I get that. But he's part of the team. Like, you see him all the time fighting for the team. Like, if you go back and look at his full story, he has a huge character growth. And to me, that was showing that anybody can fit in where you're meant to fit in.
I'm glad that you brought up character growth, because as you're talking here, I was thinking to myself, a lot of other big teams like the JLA, they're great characters. I'm not going to bash on Green Lantern or Flash. But if you read those to me, and somebody's probably going to be mad about this, but the JLA issues that I have read, and which has not been a huge amount, I haven't seen a lot of character growth in Superman or the Flash or Wonder Woman. They're always already at their epitome of what they should be. 30 in their prime. There's nothing really there. Like, tragedy and stuff happens, but it never seems to really, to me, define them. They're already defined.
Well, and if you watch, you'll see, like, the JLA and the Avengers, like, throughout the storylines, they're this amazing team that slowly breaks apart due to, you know, like,
inner turmoil,
Civil War, or stuff like that. And eventually they shatter. Whereas the X-Men, it seems like they're all individuals that are drawn together, and they usually, for the most part, stay together.
I've always thought that the X-Men, the X-Factor, the X-Force, whichever X-Team you like, and this one's more about the X-Men, that they're always more of a family.
Yeah.
I'll pull out a Vin Diesel here. The family.
I got family.
One of my favorite issues, and we're not even there yet, but there's a Thanksgiving Day issue where they're all playing football outside the mansion. They're having dinner. Like, that's, and not even all the members are there, but it was just that issue, like, just the fact that they're just family. The JLA show up when they're needed. Even the Avengers kind of show up when they're needed. Mm-hmm. But the X-Men, they live together. Like, Wolverine's down the hall from Colossus. You know, they eat breakfast and dinner together. They shoot hoops together.
Right. They don't go back to their respective cities when the mission's over.
Yeah, like Jubilee and Kitty Pryde got like a Teen Tiger magazine, you know, looking at the DiCaprio, like, in it. You know what I mean? Like, it's fun.
It is.
They're siblings.
So if you had the choice to get a letter from Hogwarts or to get accepted into Xavier's school for gifted youngsters, where would
what are my chances of living? Going up against the Sentinels or Mr. Sinister, or going against fucking Voldemort.
Or Snape.
I think I'd probably take out a gun and shoot one of the magicians. I don't know. But all seriousness, I would want to have like some cool, like, well, I could be like magic and her powers and go to both.
You know? Oh, I get that. Okay.
Yeah. That's a cop-out answer, but I would choose
X-Men. Absolutely.
I'd choose the X-Men. Yeah. Yeah.
The last thing I have written down for like reasons I like it, you already mentioned it once. You get to watch X-Men, like you get to watch them really form their morals and values as, like you said, they protect a world that is terrified of them, that hates them. They literally want a genocide against mutants, and yet their intentions are, we have to protect these people.
So you're out there on a Friday. You're part of the X-Men. You see something happening on Fifth Avenue. You're down at Fifth Avenue. You help out these people are getting robbed. And you're like, oh, well, thank you so much. And all of a sudden, a beer bottle hits you in the back of the head. You turn around, some jackass is like, fuck you, mutant. Why don't you just go off and die? Like, you just helped a little girl not get murdered and raped. But this dude over here doesn't care. You're a mutant and you need to die.
Yep.
You know what? You just keep going about your business and that's the job you do. You don't get paid for it, but that's the job you do. That sucks, man. The X-Men got a hard job.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Of all the eras that are out there, what is your favorite X-Men era?
So I really had to sit and think about it. And the era that I most loved, I think, can be summed up in a storyline. It was the House of M and the Decimation storyline. So it was around 2005, 2006-ish. So it was written by Brian Michael Bendis, something like that.
I think it's Bendis.
Bendis, thank you. And the House of M storyline, it follows Wanda Maximoff. Again, major spoilers. If you're not familiar with it, it follows Wanda Maximoff as she essentially has a mental break over losing her children, and she creates a world of just mutants.
I mean, when she says, no more mutants?
That's later. That's actually,
I mean, she takes later. The powers, but, you know, okay, I'll let you speak. I'm sorry. I'm going to stay on this side of the table. I'm going to twiddle my thumbs and drink, okay?
But she does it so she can get her kids back, because she's literally having a psychotic break, and you find out throughout the story, again, spoilers, it was really pushed a lot by her brother Quicksilver and Magneto, and it creates this world of mutants where humanity is literally the like hardcore minority now. Lots and lots of stuff happened. You have tons of spinoffs into other characters following the events of like, so you get to see, okay, Wolverine's in the story, but I want to see his personal issues. Like, what happened to him outside of this? How did he react to finding out that he's in a new world? You get to see it. You get to see them. I think Fantastic Four. Like, there's so many storylines that they wrote out for this.
So this is more of your favorite storyline as opposed to your favorite era?
See, I consider this an era because they ran really, you know, really long on all these different paths that you can spend so much time following it.
It lasted a while because it was like connected to everything. It wasn't just the X-Men.
Right.
Like everybody, every Marvel book was affected. So.
Yes. So I consider that to be an era. And I loved it because the whole storyline itself had major ramifications for the entire Marvel universe. Like you said, you get to see what life would be like if everyone had powers. And then you get to see later what it'd be like if most people didn't.
I can't really remember the specific number, but I know it was pretty low. Yeah. When she took away the mutants, like, what was it, like 188 or something?
It was very low. Yeah
it was like under 500.
Basically, I mean, it really, and then those storylines immediately following this, which I still consider to be part of this era, deals with showing all these different characters coping with the loss of their powers. Like, they literally, it was like losing a loved one. And then you have some coping with survivor's guilt. Like, why did I keep it and you didn't? Like,
yeah, there's like, some it would tear really, apart relationships,
really
friendships.
Good, but really, really dark themes in that arc. That's why I consider it an entire era, because it's so vast.
It was around for a while. I guess it was around for years, and it wasn't just one singular storyline. So,
which is why in WandaVision, when they kind of played it off, and then with Multiverse of Madness.
Okay, yeah, that was very light.
Yeah, like I understand what you're trying to do, but this isn't something you can do in one movie. Like, this deserves a whole phase of Marvel. Like,
yeah,
they could do a whole Marvel phase for House of M, and I think it could be fantastic.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, first off, I'd say it's not hard to just say the Chris Claremont era, because I feel like that's just a cop out. You know, he was responsible for 16 years of X-Men stories. That's a lot of stories.
That is.
It's a long ass time.
That is.
So instead, I'm going to choose the era of X-Men Volume 2 from 91 to around issue 95. From 1999, Wolverine is revealed to be Death of the Four Horsemen. But even within that time frame, I would say I enjoyed 91 to 94 the best. The art of Jim Lee and Adam Kubert, it's straight slayed. During the time, writers Chris Claremont, Scott Lobdell, and Fabian Nicieza, I think if I'm saying that properly, Scott and Jean got married, Wolverine lost his adamantium, and the Executioner's Song storyline happened with Strife and Cable and all that. And of course, there were the Uncanny X-Men going on concurrently, but I preferred X-Men. See, X-Men were the blue, and Uncanny X-Men were the gold. Gold led by Storm, blue led by Cyclops. I know a lot of people probably crack jokes at a lot of storylines from back then, but I don't know. I just like the artwork. To me, it's hard for me to read a comic book that doesn't look pretty. And I thought, look, Adam Kubert and Jim Lee are some of the greatest comic book artists of all time, in my opinion. And I was actually shocked when I went doing the research for this, that some of these stories were written by Fabian. I didn't know. I thought they were all like Chris Claremont or something. I didn't really know, because I knew he was around for a long time, but I'm not like an expert at the X-Men. You know, I was just a casual reader back in the day as a kid, and I don't really have a lot of time to read comics anymore. That's why I was like cramming so many, you know, X-Men comics the last couple weeks, just trying to get caught up with everything. But I would definitely say from 91 to 94, which is basically around the time the cartoon was around as well, because the cartoon really, I think, covered a decent amount of what those storylines were as well.
I say, did they kind of work off of each other at all, or were they both separate for the most part?
I don't know if they worked off each other, but I feel like they were doing it, because there's a lot of storylines that they really condensed into like an episode or two. Like the Dark Phoenix saga was like two episodes, you know, and it's a lot more in the comics. I went back and looked at the Phoenix saga, the Dark Phoenix saga, and man, the Dark Phoenix saga, that's some good stuff. So
well,
that's
now, my favorite era. I can tell you, 1991, when that series started, not the cartoon, the comic series.
Right.
So they, for issue number one, they actually did four covers.
Yeah, and the one with Jim Lee, Magneto.
Well, there's all four, and I think they're all by Jim Lee. I don't remember. But if you put them together, it shows Magneto on the far right, and then each one next to it expands it into like a panoramic view of the X-Men rushing in on him.
I never looked at it that way.
Yeah, I have them all. I'll show you sometime. But I do have, you know, the one I'm talking about with Magneto standing on the cover with his hand out.
Yeah, it's like a recreation of the old school cover from way back in the day.
Yeah, I have that one from 1991 signed by Jim Lee. He signed right on his belt.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
that is sweet.
Hopefully someday.
I love Jim Lee, man. He's got some cool stuff.
If I ever go to Comic-Con that he's going to be at, I'm going to take the other three. That whole set signed, I think that would be amazing.
Yeah. Even when he jumped to DC and he drew the JLA and Batman and... He kills every character he draws. He draws Punisher like a badass. Like, I don't know. He's just great. But I loved Adam Kubert too. I wasn't a very good artist, but I wanted to go to the Kubert School of Graphic Design back in the day. I don't know if it's still around. I assume it is, but that would have been awesome to go to.
That would be. Wow.
But talking about like teams, I guess I should just roll right into what my favorite team is. And there's been crazy, crazy amounts of teams, various lineups, endless. But I'll have to go again with the 90s roster. And there's basically two teams, like I said, the blue team that was shown with the X-Men, the Uncanny that was shown had the gold. Blue had Cyclops as the leader, Wolverine, Psylocke, Beast, Rogue, Gambit, and Jubilee. The gold team was led by Storm, had Jean Grey, Colossus, Iceman, Archangel, and Bishop. The television cartoon showed most of these characters, but if I had to choose a team to join, I would join the blue. It seemed like more of a bluish, you know, condensed version of the two teams for the cartoon, but blue just seemed more fun. I had Wolverine on it. You know, he's always bickering with Cyclops, and Beast is fun. You know, it's just, that's the team I like the most. Yeah, what about you? Like, what's your favorite lineup of the X-Men?
Around 2001, we got Grant Morrison's new X-Men that came out.
Oh, no, we're going to disagree. Oh, no. It's just the artwork.
Yeah, but that run, we had Cyclops as the leader. He's usually the leader, him or Storm, I think. And then it was Jean Grey, Wolverine, Emma Frost, Beast, and then Professor X. Like, that was the main lineup right there.
Emma Frost at that time. I never really paid much attention to her before, and I think that time is when they showed how Emma Frost is a badass.
That was around the time when she came over from, you know,
Hellfire Club.
Yeah, and yeah, they really pushed her telepathic abilities and
the stuff she's doing now.
You quickly learned respect for her.
Yes, completely.
So that's your favorite team. That's my favorite team. What if you could build your own team? Call it the Dream Team. How would you even start?
Well, I read a lot of Wizard magazines back in the day, which was you went to the grocery store, wherever you could find it. It told you it was a price guide for comics, but also had a bunch of different features in there. They did casting calls. They had interviews with writers and artists, and they even had little sections in there showing you how to make your own comic book, how to write it, how to draw it. I mean, I wish they were still around. This one time it did like the greatest superhero teams of all time. And it did like talked about the Justice League and the Avengers, but basically I don't remember which one it was, but they kind of said, and it was kind of a JLA thing, that seven members is kind of like what is generally considered like the best amount for a team. You know what I mean? Like, and I think they were kind of comparing the JLA to like the Greek gods, in which there's more than seven, but somewhere along the line, I think seven is just generally been the appropriate members of a team. Hell, even in D&D, I think seven would be like a really cool, it'd be like a huge campaign, maybe. I don't know. I guess that'd be a lot for a DM to cover, though.
I've DM'd a group with six players before.
Is that hard?
It is a lot.
Okay, well,
especially in mass combat, that's 10 minutes just to figure out, okay, who's going next?
Yeah, that's why sometimes initiative pisses me off. Like, can't we just choose who's going next? Like, but anyway.
But no, it looks like I actually did seven people.
Did you do seven? Well, who's on your seven? Well, how about you give one and I'll give one?
Let's start at the top. Team leader, who do you have?
I have Jean Grey as my team leader. Telekinesis, telepathy. She was once the Phoenix, a cosmic entity that could destroy galaxies, maybe even more. And Jean has also bested Professor X and Emma Frost in combat.
Oh, so my team leader is Jean Grey.
Okay, well, there you go.
And I have written underneath it for telepathy and telekinesis, and that she tapped into the Phoenix Force, which gave her near godlike abilities. Yeah, because I was trying to understand, reading online, like, just how, I know it's insane, but just how strong is the Phoenix Force? Apparently, it's absurd.
Yeah, and it keeps getting retconned. Apparently, the Phoenix Force is the mother of Thor now. I don't know. There's some new things happening I'm not
interesting
happy about, but yeah.
So, yeah, I have her as the
Odin
team lead.
Odin banged the Phoenix Force.
And then coming up next, because I do have them listed by what I feel is kind of like importance to the team. So Jean Grey is my leader, and then I have Wolverine for his close combat, his adamantium claws and skeleton. He's got the regeneration. I just feel he'd be great to step into the leadership role if needed, so he'd be a good second in command. And I mean, we've all seen him fight. He's fierce. He doesn't lose. And if he does lose, he'll just heal and then he won't lose. What about you?
Well, I didn't put him in order of like rank, but
okay.
My next one I did list was Wolverine because of his healing factor, adamantium claws, martial arts ability, his senses, his strength, because he's decently strong. His claws weigh a lot. He's got arrows around. His agility, reflexes, he's basically immortal, and he has also bested Captain America, Spider-Man, and the Hulk. And he was once chosen to become Death of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Like, you don't just pick any Joe Schmo for that. You pick somebody who knows how to kill.
Oh, yeah.
I chose Wolverine. And then I chose Storm. because of her weather manipulation, her flight. I mean, she's on par with many gods or goddesses of weather, and she also has led the X-Men Gold Team before. So,
well, she, and correct me if I'm wrong, but she's also an Omega level mutant, right?
Yeah, like she's up there.
She's way up there. Yeah.
So we have Jean Grey, who's Omega. We have Storm, who's Omega. We have Wolverine, who has slept with both of them. So, yeah,
I didn't see that coming. Yeah. So my number three is actually Colossus or Piotr Rasputin.
Peter Rasputin.
Peter, yeah. It's not spelled Peter, but yeah.
These are the options.
I mean, you have that superhuman strength. You have the skin to steel transformation. You have the big old metal man that throws Wolverine. I mean, you have to have that. Come on. I mean,
for sure. Fastball special.
And I feel that Colossus would essentially be the heart of the team because no matter what the situation, you always see him being the one that doesn't stray from the moral compass. He always does what's right and 100% committed to the team, like 100%.
I like in the newer comic books where him and Wolverine are in the sewer and they're trying to figure out a new name because they throw something different and they're trying to figure out a name for it. And Wolverine's like, well, let's call it the Screwball Special. And Colossus is like, why? And he's like, because we're fucking screwed.
Yes.
Yeah, those two are magic together, just yep. Magic together.
And if you're worried about spoilers, that's literally like the first couple pages.
Yeah, that's not spoiling. They're in a sewer and they fight people.
The fall of the House of X line.
A spoiler for the comic books to me, like, here is the end of the story and this is how it ends. Like,
yeah.
Or here's, I'm not going to tell you who dies.
Right.
Or gets resurrected or something like that.
Because we don't know yet. It's not over.
Yeah, correct. It could all be a fantasy. We don't know.
So if we have Colossus, I feel that number four on my list needed to be Magic, his little sister. Or Ileana Rasputin, like you said, sorcerer, magic. She can pull a mixture of the mystic arts with like legitimate magic. She has her soul sword, which is literally from part of her own soul. It's so powerful that it can disrupt any magical spells or beings. So, I mean, come on. What can really fight against that?
Well, I'll tell you this, it's not Doctor Strange, because apparently in New Mutants 25, even though it was off panel, she took out Doctor Strange.
That makes very me quickly. I love that.
Yeah, because she is the Sorceress Supreme of Limbo. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes.
Yeah, so she is, and she is the number five on my team.
And that's how she teleports. She steps into the other realm and then comes back.
Yeah.
So, John out there, Anya Taylor-Joy is number four on my list. Deal with it.
Anya Taylor-Joy can beat up Benjamin Cumberbatch. That's what I just heard.
Benedict
Cumberbatch. See, see, she's already like in my mind. She's like, don't even respect his name properly. I will whoop his ass.
Oh, geez. I would love to see her reprise that role. Like if they bring that character back into the bigger X-Men franchise.
Me too. I thought she was perfect.
Liked the New Mutants movie. I feel like it had a very poor direction in advertising, but all in all, I still thought it was a good movie.
It was a good flick. I enjoyed it. I'd watch it again. Well, you already said my number five was Magic, so I agree with you there. My number four is Nightcrawler. Agility, reflexes, surface crawling, prehensile tail, teleportation, and he's a master of stealth and acrobatics. You need to get somebody in and out without being noticed? Boom. In Wizard Magazine, when they did their like best of the best, they drafted their ultimate superhero team, did have Jean Grey and they had Nightcrawler. So, boom.
Whoa.
Do you have Nightcrawler anywhere on your team?
I do.
You do?
Yep.
What number did he come in at?
Seven.
Seven?
Just because I felt, you know, like you said, he's more the infiltration and mobility type. I mean, yeah, he does have a lot of combat skills. I mean, he's very, very agile with his tail and everything. But, I mean, I just feel like most of the other people on the list bring more to the table. However, that being said, in the newer comic run, he does play a part and he has a kick-ass beard.
Yes. Even Colossus has got a beard, too.
Colossus is a goatee.
Professor X has got a beard. Spoiler, he's got a beard.
Yep.
So who's your, I guess, number five then?
Even Storm has a beard. No.
Oh.
My number five is Betsy Braddock, Psylocke herself.
Mm. She's a twofer.
Telepathy, telekinesis. The psionic knife that can literally, that blade will disrupt any neural pathways. Like, she sticks that into your head and you are literally incapacitated for hours.
Do you think, like, I don't even know where she's at in the comics now, but, like, the fact that she's, somebody that's taken over somebody else's body, it's weird. I liked her in the comics and stuff. I didn't really pay attention really to who she was just because she jumped around in kick things. And
well, I can tell you, she is the sister of, what was it, Captain Britain?
Yeah, well, the body is. Well, I get confused. Is it the body or is it the mind? Because somebody took over somebody.
I don't remember now. Well, it's Betsy Braddock, so I'm assuming maybe. Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn.
It's Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
Bring her back.
Yeah, yeah. Let's give her another shot. I mean, she's not going to do a Predator sequel.
Oh, jeez.
Another Magic Mike, I guess.
We can hope she doesn't do another Predator sequel.
Predatory prequels?
Yeah, that.
Well, I will jump in here and say that I chose Havoc as my number 6. He has ambient cosmic energy absorption and blast. He was the leader of X-Factor. He's the brother of Cyclops. And he once defeated the Hulk. He also beat his own brother Vulcan, who destroyed Cyclops back in the day, took out Gladiator, took over the Shi'ar Empire. And how did he do this? He absorbed the energy of a star and then redirected that energy and kicked his ass and put him down. So, like, the dude, and I've liked Havoc ever since I picked up comics way back in the day. I've just always had and he was on a team with Wolverine with X-Factor way back when. I just always liked Havoc. Everybody's like, Cyclops, Cyclops, Cyclops. And I'm like, what about Havoc, man? I always liked him better. I thought he was the better Summers brother.
Havoc has his own comic books. I've never seen a Cyclops comic book.
I wonder if they exist.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you got next?
Well, so I had
your final pick. Right?
I had Psylocke as 5. I had Nightcrawler as 7. So my last pick in number 6 was Gambit. Remy LeBeau.
Oulade gonna be a barbecue and we gonna be the main call.
Bringing in that kinetic energy control where he charges objects up into basically tiny little bombs and throws them. I mean, he's an expert thief. Like, he can get in and out in a heartbeat.
Taylor Kitsch.
He's also, he's also incredibly skilled with that bow staff. No, not Channing Tatum.
You want a Channing on my Tatum? You ever hear that song? The parody song? Channing on my Tatum?
I have not.
It's fucking hilarious, dude. You got to check that out.
Jeez. Channing so that's my last pick on what my dream team would be.
Oh, well, feel free to run over my funnel pick like I just did yours. I pick Rogue, the power-stealing mutant. She can steal powers, mimic the powers. She can steal memories, energy absorption, strength, speed, stamina, endurance, flight. She can not only absorb the powers of She-Hulk or Thor, but she can stack those abilities together. And in fact, at one point, she used all the powers of the X-Men and the Avengers to beat a Celestial. Like, that's some shit.
Yeah. Now, I will say, Rogue in the comics is totally different than the live-action Rogue from the movies.
So is Kitty Pryde.
They completely ruined Rogue in the movies, in my opinion. They underutilized her hardcore.
Yeah, I have no issue with Anna Paquin at all. No. However, the portrayal, like, I mean, it's not her fault, it's what they were given.
Yeah, same with Paige. I'm sorry, I didn't care for Kitty Pryde. Kitty Pryde is a lot more, like, ballsy and out there, but hey.
Yeah, I have no issue with Elliot Page either. I mean, it's the source material that they decided not to use. Kitty Pryde is such an integral part to so many major storylines when it comes to the X-Men, including the stuff that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Days of Future Past, the Dark Phoenix. Like, she does things. Mm. And you're like, oh, okay. And then they just kind of...
The biggest thing they had her do... In Juggernaut. The movie was run through a wall and then realize you can't run back out of that room with the kid in X3. And then Juggernaut. Yeah, like, I'm sorry, horribly underutilized character.
That movie was a mess.
I thought it was a good casting. It was just extremely poorly written.
Agreed. So, speaking of movies that were trash, how about the ones that weren't trash? X-Men movies, okay? Now, if you want to include the solo adventures of Wolverine, because he's the only one that really got his only solo adventures, but there's quite a few X-Men movies, but which one is your favorite X-Men movie?
Well, if I'm staying in the actual X-Men, like, titled films, you know, like X-Men Days of Future Past or X-Men 2 United, you know, all that fun, I would probably have to go with...
New Mutants.
X2, X-Men United.
Why?
I don't honestly know. It's just of that original trilogy and then of all the new ones, that one just really sticks out to me the most. I think it's because you finally get to really dive into Wolverine's origins in a not Wolverine origins type of way.
Where he cuts down a sink.
We don't
by accident
talk about that other movie.
I just did. It exists.
We don't talk about it.
There's certain scenes that are okay.
Okay. However, we get to see all that and then we get to see Jean Grey have her break. I wish they would have done that a little bit differently, but the fact that they tried to make her mental break and like the Rise of the Phoenix type of thing accurate to the comic book cover, I've really appreciated that.
Okay.
With the flooding.
Yeah, the flood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the flood from Halo.
No, no. Now, if we go the other route and like look at all the spinoffs, while I really enjoyed the Deadpool movies, I don't consider them to be direct X-Men spinoffs.
I mean, you did go to the X-Mansion and get X-Men.
Yeah, but I would
it's
have
weird. To, it's like there's only enough budget for two or three of you.
I would have to lean more towards Logan because X-23, as you know, I love that character.
Laura Kinney.
And I would absolutely love to see them bring Daphne Keene back.
You didn't love her enough to put her on your team.
And for you, I looked it up. Daphne Keene is 4'11". She fits that short little X-23 perfectly.
She only grew up to 4'11"?
Yeah, yeah.
Not even 5 foot.
I think it says she was like 19 or 20 now. So she's only 4'11". She's done growing.
Yeah, damn.
But bring her back. Please.
Oh, please. Yes, I agree. I don't. I mean, there's other people who could do it, but I don't want them. I want her. It's not that long ago. She's still young. She can definitely take the mantle.
Yeah.
Passing the puck my way. Tossing the pigskin over here. Kicking the old foosball.
Absolutely.
All right. My favorite X-Men movie. I mean, I guess if I was to declare favorite character of the X-Men, it would be Wolverine/Logan. However, this is about the team, not solo characters. And even though Charles Xavier and X-23 were in Logan, I'm going to go ahead and choose X-Men 2, X-Men United.
Hey!
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's the best X-Men movie. I think the reason is that everything from the first film was amped up. The action, the comedy, the effects, the heartbreaks, all of it. The opening sequences, I just played it in my head. I'm like, wow, that opening sequence, in my opinion, is still one of the best sequences in all comic book movies. I think it still holds up. If you watch X2 right now, there might be pieces that are dated, but mostly you're like, you could still sit and enjoy this movie. It's still an adventure. It still explodes off the screen for you.
That's when it starts with Nightcrawler bouncing through the White House.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Brian Cox as Stryker killed it. Wolverine going berserk in the mansion. Nightcrawler. And then the ending. The ending tore my heart to shreds. I saw it in theaters. And I'm going to tell you, I got choked up. I was like, no. And listen, people, for don't spoil it for me. X2's been around a minute, okay? Fox got bought by Disney at this point.
Look, we gave the proper warnings an hour ago.
With Jean Grey sacrificing herself. Like, man, I was a big fan of Famke Janssen's portrayal as Jean Grey. And even here, they made me even like Cyclops a minute. When him and Wolverine are like, dude, he's gone. No, she's gone, man. And they like Wolverine's got to hold him.
She's gone. She's gone.
And he's trying to be a man about it. And like Professor X is like, oh shit, what just, like everybody's like, what? I was sitting there in my seat going, what? No. And then they did X3. But yeah, today that movie still stands up. And even if, and we talked a long time ago, I think it was like even before this podcast, I talked with you and some other friends. I think you were involved, where we talked about our favorite comic book movie of all time. And X2 was like in the running for me. Like it's still up there. It's I love Civil War. I mean, Endgame. Those are all great. Quantumania, Nubians, whatever. Madame Web. They're all in the running. But X2 is definitely going to run them over a lot of the times.
You mentioned X3, you know. Was it X-Men?
X-Men United.
The Last Stand.
The Last Stand.
I know it got horrible reviews, but I liked it.
There's parts of that movie I do enjoy.
Mostly because it wrapped it up. But like you were saying about like tearing your heart out, like the part that got me was the end of that when you just see Wolverine constantly being torn apart by the Phoenix Power, but he's still pushing his way forward to end this. That was hard.
Yeah, and then he's just...
And the visuals of that final battle are just incredible.
I think that movie gets way more negative than it deserves.
Hate?
Yeah. There's a lot of shit, like the Juggernaut that got jumbled. Like, what? I don't know what they were doing there. I got none against Vinnie Jones. None at all, dude. Great, you play great soccer. Sure, maybe. Good actor, been in a lot of things.
He's great in Snatch.
Yes, that's a good movie.
That's a very good movie.
But there was some redeeming things about it. I appreciated what they tried to do at the beginning with Jean Grey and all that. I mean, but then to come out with the Dark Phoenix, now that's the movie that should get trashed. Because that movie is trash.
That was bad. Yeah, I put the Dark Phoenix.
I didn't think you were going to go worse than the Apocalypse movie, but they did it.
See,
they
put the Dark Phoenix under the new Fantastic Four movie. It's bad.
Oh,
it's bad.
I would have to rewatch them to give you an answer, but I don't want to rewatch them to give you an answer.
I put Madam Web above the Dark Phoenix. Okay, maybe not. Maybe not.
Ooh, wow.
And while we're talking about like some of the actors, because you had just said stuff.
I did say a lot of things.
Can we talk for a second about Boyd Holbrook?
Dude, I'm telling you, Boyd Holbrook is the man.
Playing, was it Donald Pierce in Logan, the main villain? Yeah. Amazing. Like, absolutely amazing.
He's a good villain.
I loved it. It was phenomenal. And then the next year, he did The Predator.
He did what he could with it. For those of you that want to know our thoughts on The Predator, we did a three-part series about Alien, Predator, and AVP, and you can go back and listen to that and our love about leather jackets, and it's fantastic. So go.
Oh, leather jacket.
Yeah. Wolverine wears a leather jacket.
So I was playing with ChatGPT the other day, and I made a empty leather jacket smoking a cigarette. And I was going to send it to you, but I completely forgot.
Is there going to be a running thing where every one of our episodes from now on has to include the leather jacket somewhere?
John and leather jacket.
You know, John goes hiking in a suede jacket. I don't know if you knew that.
Why?
I don't know. He doesn't own any other jackets. I don't know. Ooh. Get on Facebook. Look at all the pictures of him hiking.
One day when we actually, you know, have merchandise, we're absolutely putting out a leather jacket t-shirt.
Yes.
100%.
Like, I want one of those t-shirts. I used to have a Wolverine one. That was just a t-shirt, but it had the yellow and it had like the belt buckle, like you were wearing the uniform. It was like one, just a t-shirt that's a costume.
Like John has the Deadpool.
Yeah. Like I want to do one that's just a leather jacket. It's a t-shirt, a leather t-shirt.
We need to deal with Under Armour and we'll get this made.
Yeah.
So Boyd Holbrook, amazing villain.
Great villain.
Absolutely amazing. What are some of your favorite villains coming out of the X-Men franchise? Because I mean, we've had some really bad, but we've also had some really good ones.
Well, you know, when I thought about this, I didn't even really think about the movies, you know, even though some of these people are in the movies. So first of all, I'm a bit partial to my man Wolverine. And so I love a lot of Sabretooth. I love Omega Red. But how can you, when listing the greatest comic book villains of all time, not mention Magneto or Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Hell, even Mr. Sinister is truly evil and he's, well, he's sinister, right? But I guess my favorite of the bunch would be Magneto. I mean, his past, you know, that involves the concentration camp. His friendship with Charles, his fight to protect all mutants, even though there's some of them that want to oppose and even take him out. It's extraordinary. And Ian McKellen didn't do a shabby job either. Like he did a great job in the movies. And the voices of David Hemblen, I think that's how you say it, Hemblen. He was in the first cartoon series. Then Matthew Watterson is the Magneto in the new cartoon series. And I didn't even know there was a difference. Apparently the same dude's doing Wolverine. I didn't know that. He was on The Pretender. Great show. But anyway.
Yes, it was.
I love The Pretender. Or was he on the Profiler one? I don't know. He was in one of those. La Femme Nikita. Maybe it was La Femme Nikita he was on. They were all kind of very similar back in the day. But listen, Magneto has just been a force. Ever since he's been debuted, he's dealt with the Avengers. He dealt with the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, the Defenders. You name them. He has been a thorn in somebody's side. And he's not just... I mean, I love Dr. Doom, but like Magneto has like a humanity to him. Like he doesn't want to just walk up and kill people. He wants them to see his point of view. And if you don't see his point of view, then he's going to have to use force to show you his point of view.
Right.
But people think like Magneto just jumps to violence. Violence is never really his first course of action. He's just been proven right so many times that people are going to fail to be a good person. That he just has to use force. Like
in the new X-Men 97 cartoon, I'm not going to give spoilers away, but in one of the early episodes, there's a scene with him in like this courtroom and the monologue that he gives.
Fan fucking tastic.
How did it end? It was something like, don't make me fail you or something like that. It's just, yeah. Absolutely incredible.
I won't spoiler the one line he says, but it's like hardcore. Now, so how do we tackle favorite storylines? Because I feel like you already tackled the very favorite storyline. Do you want me to go first and then you figure out how you're doing it? Or do you got?
You don't give a shit about my favorite villain?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. I forgot that part. So who is your favorite villain?
So I have a couple written down. Obviously, Donald Pierce from Logan, played by Boyd Holbrook. Loved him. Not my favorite. Dark Phoenix, I always thought she was just an amazing enemy because she's mostly misunderstood, but at the same time, she is, you know, the Phoenix Force is still pretty much pure evil. I always loved Magneto. I mean, how can you not, like you said?
Give you plenty of reasons.
And then I have Juggernaut, not the movie Juggernaut. So in the original comics, he's actually Professor X's stepbrother.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching the cartoon episode with him.
And he's not a mutant.
Banshee. And...
He's not a mutant. He has this mystical gem that gives him these abilities.
Crystal of Katarach.
Yeah, sure. But I think one of my favorite villains of all time has to be Mystique. Now, it's hard to say villain because she has played both sides. But the way she just turns into whoever she wants and walks right in, like, she's the ultimate cosplayer.
Mystique is good old Jennifer Lawrence, J-Law. Now, you just going straight up. Did you like her portrayals in the movies?
Yeah, she wasn't bad.
Are you a Rebecca Romijn, Stamos, who's now in Star Trek, by the way?
I'm a bigger fan of the original trilogy. Yeah, I liked her better, I think. Yeah.
How do you feel about...
Even though she didn't ever really talk.
How do you feel about, like, way back in the comics, she was always thought to be related to Nightcrawler, possibly her mother, and now they've, like, taken that all away? Like, in fact, Magneto's not even the father of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch anymore. That's gone away.
Okay, so that I don't like.
Yeah, and Tony Stark is adopted, so whatever.
That annoys me. I don't like that they took Magneto's kids away. It's going to be another House of M.
Might be.
No, it won't be. But as far as...
Mystique being related to Nightcrawler.
That doesn't bother me at all that they kind of nixed it. Just because they're both blue. That's it.
I like the idea of way back when they were trying to do tissue that connects to each other. Before that was even a huge thing when everything
like what,
was crossed
was Nightcrawler,
over.
Nightcrawler, the love child of Mystique and Beast?
I don't know. See, that was the mystery of it.
They're all blue. Whoa, they're all blue. The thing I always thought was amazing about Nightcrawler, though, is he literally looks like a little demon. When he teleports, he steps into like a demonic realm to teleport and comes back.
I never really looked to see where he went. I never.
But in the comics, he's super Catholic.
Yeah. He is.
They gave this horrible looking creature a religion, and it's one another layer of X-Men of don't judge him by what he looks like.
Yeah.
I just always found that fascinating.
What is Mystique's real name? It's blanking in my brain right now.
I'm on it.
Like, I know that Magneto's Eric Lencher, and now it's Eric something else. Because in the death of Magneto, Storm's calling him something else, and then they eventually say in a panel, he's known by many names, blah, 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 his names. I can't think of her name.
Raven Darkholm.
Yeah. Well, that's not... I mean, like, what? Like, were her parents, what, fucking Jimmy and Donna Darkholm?
Well, it says here, Mystique was living under the assumed name Raven Darkholm, and previously as Sherlock Holmes. Mystique is the wife of Destiny, who is Irene Adler, the mother of the villain Graydon Creed, and the adoptive mother of the X-Men heroine Rogue. So, as well as the biological father of the X-Men hero Nightcrawler...
So she is? I thought they took that away.
I'm not sure.
Oh, see, this is what happens when they start rebooting shit.
Well, I mean, and it's Wiki. Anybody can put whatever they want on Wiki.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does get reviewed, but yeah, it can still end up on there. There's a lot of bands that'll read their Wikipedia and go, that's not true. That's not true. Yep, that's not true. Well, I mean, that's half true, but this is how it really went.
Right.
Yeah. I don't ever take Wikipedia for concrete, that's for sure.
Getting back to Mystique, I think one of the reasons I always liked her so much was just the idea of being able to mimic anybody. I mean, it wasn't even just visually, it was a voice and everything as well. The visual effect they used for her turning back in the original trilogy, I always thought that was fascinating because it was almost like pixelizing.
I loved her scene in X2 when she takes the dude to the bathroom. He just straight passes out. She flips him over. He hits his head off the toilet. Yes. Clunk. There it is. Too much iron in your blood.
And I'll tell you what, I couldn't help but feel absolutely horrible when she gets in X3. Spoilers. When she gets accidentally shot by the cure dart.
Yeah.
And they just leave her there. Like,
oh my God, you're still a really pretty woman. Oh. So, well, then what about your storylines? Because you already kind of did an era. But in that era, that was quite a long time, if you had to choose, like, your storyline, like, of all the big events that they have had, what's your favorite one?
Wolverine.
Just Wolverine?
Yep.
Just, like, all the Wolverine movies here.
So, in the House of M, in his own kind of, like, side thing where you first get to see him react, he wakes up on an airship with Mystique. They're together. And he's also part of the...
Yeah, he's banged her, too.
I forget what it's called, but... basically, he's part of, like, the military police of this new regime. But for some reason, he can remember vaguely the world before all of this.
That's because he had some memory implant issues, I would guess.
And I love, so, like, he's having a hard time. He's standing at the edge of the airship looking down. He's thinking. And then he just jumps. And, I mean, knowing Wolverine, you're like, huh, okay. But, like, if you're just reading that, say it's your first time. I mean, I know that'd be incredibly rare, but, like,
hey, there's some 9-year-olds out there right now that haven't read an X-Men comic yet.
Just jumped off of an airship. Like, what?
So you're choosing House of M? Is that your favorite storyline?
Yes. House of M is still my favorite storyline, but just following Wolverine through it all as he figures out what's going on, as he gets other people, you know, I don't want to say their memories back, but it kind of gets them woken up to what's going on. It's a fantastic storyline to follow up.
So Wolverine's trek through reality / not reality in the House of M.
Yeah, basically.
I've never read House of M all the way through.
You should. It's long. It's very long.
But there's a lot of ground to cover there. I've got bits and pieces. I know the basic gist of it all.
Check out. So what I do is I download the Kindle app. And then if you have Amazon Prime, sign in with your account. And they have a lot of graphic novels, like full omnibuses, free to read to Prime members. And I think that was one of them. I think that's actually how I read it.
I'll have to use Emily's Prime. She's got that.
So check that out.
I also
did World War Hulk and all that stuff through Amazon Prime as well.
Right on. So, I'll have to check it out.
What about you? If you had to pick one.
Oh, man, I would have to say that there's been so many amazing stories told since the X-Men debuted, including Days of the Future Past. There's Age of Apocalypse, God Loves, Man Kills. Now, I did some research, and I tried to refresh myself on all these big stories, and I narrowed it down to the Phoenix Saga and the Dark Phoenix Saga. And I'm not really going to separate those, because it's all kind of a Phoenix Saga, so I won't go light or dark. So I'm just going to go with the Phoenix Saga, because to me, these sagas have shown the true heart and the soul of the team and why they're so popular. I mean, it had it all. It had Cosmic Threats, had the Hellfire Club, Jean Grey going cuckoo, Wolverine having a nice sewer adventure. What he did to the Reavers, man. What he did, now it's my turn. Like, it was just amazing. Give me my jacket back. It's been adapted on the big screen in X-Men 3, The Last Stand in the Dark Phoenix. Most agreed that neither one of those was handled very well, but I'll say that the cartoon did it really well. They really compressed it down in those couple episodes. I think it was a two-parter for the original series. And because I had my grandmother tape it, because I couldn't get it where I was, that station, so she taped it for me. So when I visited her on my monthly visit for the weekend, I could, so sweet of her. I miss my grandmother. She was amazing. Yeah, it's just my favorite. I mean, the cartoon really helped, like, it put a place in my heart. You know, when I think of the Phoenix Saga, yes, I mean, I can flip through the comics in my head, and I did just reread them, but, like, the cartoon rendition of that, I think, was pretty awesome.
Did you read End Song as well?
No.
Okay, I know that was a 5-issue run. I remember reading the first two, but I never got through them all, now that I think about it.
No, I've heard of it, but I never got a chance. I think it was cool, too, because it brought in the Shi'ar Empire. You got to see that there was, like, Gladiator and all, and, like, the X-Men are getting their asses whooped for a minute. I mean, and it's even kind of, I will say that part in the comics is a little bit better. It's a little bit more expanded. But I remember, like, Professor X, like, when Lilandra, I think her name is, and she's first messing with him in the cartoon, and he's like, "The Pain, who are you?" She's just, like, probing his mind and stuff, and he's, like, freaking out. And yeah, this has always been stuck in my head when I think of the cartoon. Yeah, just the Phoenix Saga, I think, is just amazing. And I don't know if they'll ever get it done properly on screen. I think it's just too expansive. I mean, look at the big things like Civil War in the comics. Huge, huge storyline. They can only do so much in the comics. So,
right.
So I guess that leads us to kind of what's going on with the books and the team now. You get this whole X, House of X, Fall of X, Power of X thing going on now. I read the first two issues of Fall of X, Fall of the House of X. Let me say this properly. I've read the first three issues of the Fall of House of X. I read the first issue of the Power of X, I do believe. I read one of the Dead X-Men, Resurrection of Magneto. So it's a whole thing, and a big storyline going on right now where the X-Men really are on their heels. The mutants are on their heels. Some big AI thing. Humans are just taking out mutants left and right, and they're really pushing them back. And this is kind of like, again, because it's happened so many times, but this is, again, like the final stand for mutants to not get eradicated. Like, they got to fight humans. They got to fight non-humans. They got to fight everybody. And it's...
Yep. Like, without giving anything away, there's... You find out some that aren't around anymore. Some are in custody. Some of them just vanished. Like, there's a whole...
Yeah, it's another one of those things where there's, like, a lot of different storylines. Well, it's one big storyline, but there's a lot of different issues, a lot of different series. Let's put it that way. A lot of different series that you kind of have to follow to get the full picture. I mean, it kind of does throw you nuggets that says, well, check out this issue for what they're talking about. But it's a huge storyline. And what I like about this one is there are members of the Avengers that pop up here and there that I've seen, but it's not... Here is the X-Men, Avengers, Fantastic Four, everybody else. Like, this is mainly a mutant story.
Well, and they reference Iron Man and Tony Stark quite a few times.
Well, Emma Frost is married to Tony Stark now?
Apparently.
I just learned that last week. I didn't, like, that's how far behind I am on the time.
They bring that up in the most recent issue. It is I believe it was a five-part run. 1, 2, and 3 are currently out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going good. They brought back some characters. I have a comic book card set, Marvel Masterpieces, done by Boris Vallejo, his wife Julie Bell, way back in the day. We're talking early 90s. And there's a character, Cinch. Like, I never really paid attention to who he is. He was a late recruit, you know, from, like, the early 90s, late 90s, something like that. And, like, he's in here. Like, they bring, like, all these characters. Like, it's a very expansive story. You know, there was a while where I didn't really... Marvel's rebooting everything and rebooting things, and they're trying to, like, the DC was doing the same things. They're rebooting what's real, what's not real. Wolverine's dead. No, we have Old Man Wolverine. We have X-23. We have 17 other Wolverines popping in here. Like, I just got tired of it, and I stopped reading comics for a minute.
Yeah.
It kind of sucked, and now I'm kind of behind on some things. I mean, I kept tabs, you know, looked at some comic book news, but...
See, what I can't stand is...
But I'm excited to get back into this now, because these stories, what I've read in the last week has been exciting and entertaining.
Well, there were some Spider-Man ones I was reading where it's like at the bottom of the thought bubble or the talking bubble, it's, you know, see Amazing Spider-Man issue, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't want to have a table of contents to understand what's going on. Like, they're making it now, so you have to read, like, 8 different storylines just to follow one main line.
Yeah, you know, Days of Future Past, I always thought, you know, because I never really read it when I was a kid. I never did. So... I decide I'm going to go read this thing. I'm like, okay, well, how many issues is this thing? It's one. It's, yeah, I mean, it's long, but it's like one. Like, I didn't have to read Wolverine 17, Kitty Pryde 7, Cyclops 3. No, it was just, no, here you go. Boom. So that's like it. The
house
story.
The House of M Omnibus. You read through the whole main story. Great. But then at the end, at least on the Amazon one, there is literally at least a dozen, like, standalone issues from other storylines.
What was Deadpool doing during this time? You know,
like, well, yeah, it's like, oh, let's jump over here now and see what, you know, Mystique was doing. Or, like, it's their own standalone story of people that you didn't really need to know any of this.
But, yeah, so that's...
So what do you think of in the new comic run? Because I'm reading the same one right now, Follow the House of X.
Yeah, I'm going to keep up on this stuff, too, because I want to get in the know.
They kind of rebranded Kitty Pryde. Did you notice that? She's now Shadow Cat.
Yeah.
Runs around with
she's
swords.
She's not a teenager no more. She's like Ronin.
Yeah, yeah. She's basically a Ronin that goes through walls.
Yeah, an assassin killing you that goes through walls. That's scary at all.
I don't know how I feel about it, though, because, like, it's a cool concept. I'm glad they gave her a facelift, but, like...
I'm going to have to do the research and find out how she got broken, because apparently she got broken and angry, and I'm curious how.
Yeah.
But they brought magic in, so magic is running around. I've always been a fan of magic. Yeah. We talked about it early in the episode. I'm glad that she is a forefront character.
Yes.
Like, she's not just a side character. Like, she's important to the story. Well, Polaris is a throwaway character from back in the day. She's important to the story.
Yep. They're bringing in a lot of the older ones.
Deep cuts for me. I mean, people have been reading this stuff for the last 5 years. They're like, well, this is no news to me. Well, it is to this guy. And I'm happy for it. It's not just the same 5 X-Men, 6 X-Men. It's not just a Professor X story. So.
Right. Okay, so we're getting amazing new comic stories coming out. You're finally getting back into them.
Huh?
How do you feel? I know that you won't watch most trailers, but I know you've seen the very first Deadpool 3 trailer. We know Wolverine is showing up.
Like, yes.
There's no doubt about it. We know.
We know there's Fox characters. Fox X-Men characters are going to be in there. Yeah.
So what is your honest take on the X-Men joining the MCU? Good, bad, mixed? Like, what do you think about this?
So with Deadpool and Wolverine, you know, the movie's dropping in July. The X-Men, they're soon to be joining the MCU. I mean, that's on the table. I mean, the Marvels have already used Kamala, who was shown to be a mutant in her TV show. And we've seen Beast in an alternate timeline in the Marvels, you know, whatever. Go watch it, people. There's your spoiler warning. It's there. So, I mean, they're already kind of here. It's just, I'm hoping that they take time to craft a proper story that isn't just a cash grab. Like, I want them to take their time here. The Fox X-Men are still fresh in everybody's mind, and especially with the Deadpool Wolverine movie coming, and just hoping it's not getting rushed here. We still have to have Fantastic Four come out. You know, we got to tackle that first. And I think if these new movies can, I think that they can help revitalize and re-spark, you know, the people's wonderment for this. It's just, they got to take their time. This has to be a slow burn. And Marvel needs to go back to stories about characters, just write about the characters. And I know that's kind of a cop-out answer, but.
Well, no, it's not. They need to get back to the slow build-up.
I don't want a CGI fest. Like, I want, and you know what? And I don't want them to retackle the same type of stuff. They did it with their Spider-Man. They didn't rehash everything that had been done before. They didn't retell it over and over again. I think they kind of need to do something sort of similar there. I mean, X-Men are very expansive. Mutants are expansive. There's so many of them. But man, the kid gloves here. Like, let's handle this like you're handling a piece of art. What about you? How do you feel about the mutants joining the MCU?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. I mean, to me, like my X-Men.
With Deadpool 3, we already know it's going to bridge the gap between the X-Men universe and the MCU. It's just a matter of time until we see a full, you know, merger, I guess you could call it. Look at all the Easter eggs have been dropped. Like you said, I mean, there's an end credit scene where we see blatantly see Beast.
Yeah.
There's, like you said, Kamala Khan.
Your gene is a mutation or something, he says.
It's dropped that, it's not the bangles that are giving you power. You have a mutation in your genes. And then you lightly hear that, very, very lightly. And then we turn around, you got Professor X and the Illuminati and Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Like, how many more Easter eggs need to drop? Oh, hey, look, over here, we got Evan Peters freaking Quicksilver showing up in WandaVision. I know that was kind of done as like a fan service thing.
Yeah, but how did she know to use that specific illusion type deal?
Right.
Like, come on.
Because they made it very clear.
Where's your accent? Why do you have one?
Yeah, everything that they showed is coming from her head, which means somewhere in the multiverse, she...
Well, even in Age of Ultron...
Mentally was connected to him.
Even in Age of Ultron, they hinted at Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch being mutants. They didn't use the word. They weren't allowed to legally use the word.
They played it off as, well, they got their powers from the stone. Later, they kind of pushed, it enhanced them. Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. Let's get them in here, but let's do it right.
I welcome it. I think it'll be a fresh take back into the MCU. Like you said, take it slow. I'm just hoping they do it right.
Yeah, if I get like a Fantastic Four from a couple years back, I'm going to be pissed. I get a Quantumanium, I'm going to be pissed.
So what
we're not going to get a Madam Web for sure, but...
Oh, man. So what I've been reading is, I guess, Fantastic Four is going to take place in the 60s.
Yeah, I think they're doing like a time jump somewhere. I think they'll time jump towards the end of the movie. That's my guess.
But my question is then, why has nobody in the modern day MCU ever heard of them unless they're simply in a completely...
They better have one hell of a clever... Completely that's everybody's separate question. Timeline.
Don't just say, oh, it's a different universe. Like, that's the most...
H-Train, don't give me that timeline bullshit. Yeah, I'm very curious what their unique answer is going to be to this that hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
You know, is Deadpool going to have something to do with this somewhere? What's exciting to me is with Deadpool Wolverine coming out, everything that's come out before that, as far as the MCU, as far as Sony, as far as Fox, all that to me is kind of like old chapter stuff. Like, some of it's obviously going to matter somewhere, but this new Deadpool thing is going to kick open the door for a whole new... I think Kevin and the rest of the creative teams there in Marvel Studios have realized, and maybe this is just me, or maybe I'm projecting upon them, but I hope they realize that this is a way for them to redo it. And I'm not saying reboot it and delete
They've
it all.
Been calling it a soft reboot.
Yeah, yeah, this is a way to reignite. This is a reignition for
now,
me.
Is Deadpool 3 rated R? Do we know yet?
It's rated R.
Okay.
For sure it's rated R.
That'll be the first rated R movie to enter the MCU. I mean, I don't want to say like, oh, I hope every movie has, you know, dropping, F-bombs everywhere. But like, I feel like it could take it to a different audience. Because you know, in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, they dropped the first F-word in the entire MCU.
Right. The old MCU shows
get in the car.
That were supposed to be non-canon didn't matter. The Punisher, the Daredevil.
Yeah.
Those things. Even Finn Jones is talking about like, hey, man, there's some hints. I might be coming back as Iron Fist. Hopefully he got some acting lessons by then, or maybe it's just the writing. I don't know. But the Punisher there was like rated R those first two seasons, you know, and like now they're saying, no, that stuff does matter. Like you just saw Echo, Kingpin, Wilson Fisk, you know, like, yeah. So I think they're smartly in a way listening to fans. We're not going to get everything we want. Like, let's be real.
I would love to see them bring Jessica Jones back in.
Yeah, let's do it.
What was her name? Kristen
Ritter.
Yes, I'd love to see her come back. And I'd love to see her be that dark and gritty Jessica Jones.
The guy plays Luke Cage. Can't think of his name right now. He's on the show Evil for ABC. Mark Coulter or something like that. But that show, it's doing its final season. It's about to end. So he's going to be free again to play Luke Cage.
Mike Coulter,
yeah. So like let's bring him back because he was amazing, Luke Cage.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. So yeah, I'm excited for the X-Men in the future. I'm excited to see where the Marvel Universe is going to go. I mean, I'm also excited because on the other side of the aisle, you got James Gunn gearing up. And listen, he's got a lot to make up for. Unfortunately, and he signed on for the job, but like he knows what's going on the other side of the aisle too. Don't think just because Marvel's had a couple of hiccups and they've had a couple of problematic issues with some actors and writers and things that they're down and out.
No, like, he probably knows.
We know the score.
The game plan.
Like just because they stumbled in the third quarter doesn't mean that they're just going to run away with it. I mean, DC, like I'm excited to see these two come back.
Well, I know they showed a picture of him with like a bunch of cast members. And there were speculations on who each person's going to play. And I will say I'm very happy because hopefully it's true, but Nathan Fillion was in a picture.
Oh, yeah, he's in there.
Well, they're saying that he's going to be a Green Lantern.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Is it true?
Yeah, it's true.
Finally, because I've been wanting that for a very long time.
Have you seen any pictures of Corn and Sweat jacked for Superman?
No.
I also saw a picture yesterday of Liam Hemsworth in the gym getting jacked up for The Witcher.
Mm.
He got insanely bigger.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like, I mean, he was already in shape, but I was like, he's not as big as his brother, Chris. He's big now. Like, he's a big boy. So he looks a lot more like Henry Cavill now than what he did.
I still want to see Grant Gustin come back as the Flash.
You know, they're saying it's open.
Comments.
It's open.
He has made comments that he is open to.
Yeah, but listen, if it doesn't happen, you're going to have to let that dream die. If the Flash gets recast, you're going to have to let it die, man. It's just going to happen, man.
Not going to happen. Nope.
It's not my fault that your favorite character, Flash, isn't coming back. And my favorite character, Wolverine, is being played by the same guy till the end of time.
Harry Potter's going to take that role.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Or it's the dude from the Rocket Man movie.
Did we ever get a definite on who Henry Cavill signed up as?
No.
I heard
no, Captain and I don't want to know.
I heard Wolverine. I heard...
I hope it's Hyperion.
A whole bunch. Oh, jeez.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up here. We've rambled off enough. Let's these folks get out of here. Half of them have tuned out already.
Well, I do have one more question for you.
Okay.
Looking at the old X-Men and looking at the MCU, what is a one-on-one?
What do you mean by old X-Men?
Like,
let's clarify here.
Just the X-Men franchise. And then the
MCU. You talk about the Fox?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What is a one-on-one interaction that you can't wait to see?
If any of those characters can pop back in.
Like, great example, I would love to see Deadpool and Loki, just a conversation between them, I think would be amazing.
Man, I don't know. That's a good, man, I wasn't prepared for that.
I always have a curveball. Always.
Wolverine and Captain America.
Oh.
Because they faced off in the comics before and things. Yeah, yeah, I'd like... Or even Deadpool and Spider-Man. Like, when's that going to happen?
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm going to say Wolverine, Captain America, because they both got history that doesn't exist at this point.
See, I would love to see some interaction of, like, well, these claws are adamantium, you know, they can't be broken. Well, this shield is vibranium. And then just have him, like, scratch the shield or something.
Just like in that cover of the old school.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that would be just.
Yeah, that's my pick, Wolverine Captain America.
I like it. I like
that's
it.
That's man on man right there, man. Who's tougher?
All right, well.
Wrap it up.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up times. This episode. So I hope you guys and gals and mutants all found this entertaining and enjoyable.
Damn muties.
Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and comment below. I mean, if you're on YouTube, we would love to hear from you. Like we said, we love getting that feedback. Whenever you listen to our podcast, we want to know what you think. Your support means everything to us, and we encourage you to just keep bringing new ideas to the table and let us know what you want to hear. You can stay connected with us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X.
Everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere that you're listening, there's
Genosha,
some way.
Krakoa.
If you want to get directly in contact with us, join our Patreon. I just got an email today saying that the Patreon chats are officially set up. So you join and you can chat directly with us. I have it on my phone just waiting for somebody to message me.
I want that app. Do I have that app?
No, but you can get it.
All right. IT guy, fix me up, Em.
All right, I can do that. Yeah.
All right.
Join our Patreon for $5 a month. Patreon members get early access to upcoming content, including polls, shout-outs every episode, little tidbits of, hey, here's what's coming in a couple weeks when normally you'd only find out, like, what, the day before? And like I said, you can now directly talk to us. And we have plenty of Patreon-specific content that we are ready to get working on. We just need a reason to do it, people. So, like I said, you'll get a shout-out. Big shout-out to John for joining our Patreon, as well as Unconfined You for being our first and only paid monthly subscriber. And remember, every like, follow, and subscription helps us grow, so please don't be shy. Jump in there, click it, you know, beat that thumbs up button as hard as you can. And that's all I really got. I got nothing more. So,
all right.
This is Josh from the Tree of Geek saying, take care, everybody.
This is the H Train, a jugga. Thanks for hanging out in the Tree Fort, and we will see you with our ears next time. Goodbye.
Shink.
Welcome to it. I know it's up in the yellow, but like I didn't think I went that loud.